Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in 1 John, The Conquest of Two Kingdoms. The title of the message today is The Conquest of Two Kingdoms. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. We're starting in verse 4 today. But before I do that, I would love to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there were two kingdoms. One kingdom is ruled by a great king. The king is merciful and loving, but also just. He is fair to those who live in his kingdom. When someone in the kingdom was hurting, he encouraged the others to help them and even would help those in need himself. The good king required nothing of the subjects in his kingdom except they come talk with him daily and spend time with him. He took good care of them and hoped that they would acknowledge and thank him for doing so. Everyone could live freely in his kingdom, no matter what kind of issues each subject had. All they needed to do was accept him as the king and be obedient to his edicts. In the other kingdom lived one who once served the king. He was a loyal servant who had fellowship with the king in the other kingdom, and at one point loved and followed him. One day, though, the servant began to believe he was better than the king. He believed he was good and would be a better leader than the ruler. Then, even though he knew he could never be powerful enough to ever overthrow the king, he convinced many to try along with him. Well, his plan was foiled, and he was immediately expelled from the kingdom, along with those who attempted to conquer with him. They ended up deciding to build a kingdom together. The ruler of that kingdom began to have an attitude of anger. He realized he would be forever lost from the good king's kingdom, so he began to believe if he was banished, then why couldn't he convince others to have the same mindset? So he began a campaign to conquer those who had no loyalty to the merciful king. His main goal at the end was to have as many people as him be lost forever and share in his same fate. The evil ruler devised a plan. He believed that the same way that he was banished would be a great way to have others removed as well. He sent those who were banished with him out into the world to plant seeds in the people. He would tell them what he had learned. I am better than the king. I don't need that king, and I can make my own way, which will lead to my own happiness. I don't need that good king to lead me, and if I do it myself, one day I'll be a part of his kingdom because of my goodness and what I did. So the ruler of the dark kingdom began to plant seeds in the hearts of those people and to take away the seeds of the good king. And over the years, many of them were lost in the battle between the good and the bad ruler. Many had been won to the darkness and lost forever. Many even never taught their children about the good king. They just decided to teach their children their own beliefs of goodness and ways to get into the good king's kingdom. The good king would send subjects to go out to share with those under the dark ruler's power. Some would say to the subjects, I don't need the good king because I have my own goodness to get me into his kingdom. Or, I don't believe in the good king. I don't believe that the king is real. I've never seen him. Or, I follow another king and they'll get me into the good kingdom. There are even some who would tell the subjects the good king is not a king. He was just another one of us who did good things and was a good person. They would rather follow the beliefs of the dark ruler. But there were those who realized the merciful king was good. They understand he was not a king who wanted anything except for his subjects to share in his success. All he asked from them was their obedience and time together. He only required that when they had more than others, that they would share like the good king does. The king was glad to give the subjects a lot, so he desired them to share it as well. So many followed the good king, and they lived happily ever after. But those who followed the lies of the evil ruler wound up being deceived in the end. They followed all the beliefs of the dark dictator. They spent their lives believing they were better than the king, that they could do things on their own without the free gift of love from the king. So the ruler of the dark kingdom won many to his dark fate as he led a line of deceived people to the eternal doom along with him. 1 John chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Everyone who sins breaks the law." In fact, sin is lawlessness. The way he's saying this is if you continue to sin as a lifestyle. He's not saying we Christians are perfect. Though when we have Christ in our hearts, it does say in Hebrews 10:14 that God looks at us as perfect. But we as Christians are not perfect. We are in a process of walking with God. He told us if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So to take the "I'm perfect and other people aren't" road, which some Christians take, that's not right. You see, we continue to walk in the light, but we will struggle in the dark at times. Then we confess and don't habitually embrace the darkness in the dark kingdom. Grace is an amazing thing not to be lived with loosely, because grace is demanding as well. You see, sinners, they sin, and they stay in their sin. They enjoy sin because they're messed up spiritually, and because they're walking in the darkness in the ways of the dark kingdom. Grace makes me get up after I sin, and I continue to move forward to the light, into the light. You are not off the hook when you make a mistake, and you can't live in but confess that mistake before God. So if you continue to sin, the language says you continue to practice lawlessness. It's about your lifestyle. You don't continue to live the same as when you first got saved. You are not perfect. If you continue to walk in it, it is lawlessness. Verse 5. "But you know that he appeared so he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin." The language there is like the scapegoat. In the Old Testament, God was pointing to the Messiah and to the kingdom and to heaven, so he had the people physically do things that would point to the spiritual. One of the things that they had to do was the priest would have to get a goat, and it was called the scapegoat. And they would lay hands on the scapegoat, and they would place the sins of all the people on the scapegoat. And that scapegoat after that would get up and would walk out into the desert where those sins could be removed forever. Let me read that verse again. "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So we need to believe and go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, and I accept you as my Lord." And that when you do that, it says that he gets up and walks away into the wilderness with our sins. He takes them. It says he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So he takes away those sins. It says in verse 6, "No one who lives in him," so if you say you're a Christian, born again, "no one who lives in him keeps on sinning." No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. So you continually walk in him, then you don't abide in sin anymore, is what that's saying. So here's a difference, because there's two different types of things that happen here. If you go to the Backslider's Bible, and you go to them, and you see that they're struggling, and they're going through that, and that's fine. People can struggle, but then there's the people who say they're Christians, and they're living in their sin, and you go to the Backslider Bible, the first scripture that you see is, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." And then you open and you flip to the next page and it says, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." And that's the Backslider's Bible in a nutshell. Okay, so there's a difference though between judging somebody and inspecting their fruit, which is what the Bible tells us to do. If the Christian continues in their sinning, then there's inspection. But if they're struggling in their sin, then there's supposed to be no judgment. For example, after someone gets saved, if they continue to smoke wacky tobacco and they enjoy it, maybe 2 years down the line of their getting converted and becoming a Christian, they're still smoking wacky tobacco. They enjoy it without conviction. The Bible says that you can confront them because there's no change in their fruit. And there are four times in the book of Revelation it says that you are not supposed to do recreational drugs. It has nothing to do with medicine or if a kid has cancer and, you know, that they're smoking marijuana or if they're eating marijuana to help them with their seizures. It has nothing to do with that. It's not about medicine. It's about if you're using it recreationally just because. And there are two different types of people, and I know because I've seen them and I've hung out with them. And there's one type of person and they say, "Well, I think that they should legalize medical marijuana." And the reason they're saying that is because they want to smoke it recreationally. So if someone struggles with smoking wacky tobacco, and they're attempting to rid themselves away from smoking it for the rest of their lives, there's grace, there's love, there's no judgment, because they're struggling with it. There's a huge difference. My friend Tommy was smoking outside the church, and everybody began to judge him. "Oh, look, he's smoking. He can't be doing that outside our church, smoking cigarettes. That's terrible. Go talk to him about that. Tell him he can't do that." "I'm not going to tell him." "Oh, why aren't you going to tell him that?" "Because he was doing heroin 2 weeks ago." I love to share that story because it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about here. Tommy doesn't smoke anymore. He doesn't drink anymore. He doesn't do drugs anymore. But he was struggling with heroin addiction and had gone off heroin, and then he was smoking cigarettes. And I think that God would have been proud of the fact that he was doing that. Now he's an evangelist and he doesn't do anything. But God was taking him through a process. So how would it be if I went out there and I told him that you can't smoke outside the church? That's horrible. Because he was struggling and he was going through a process. Verse 7. "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word there is a Greek word called technon. It's born again. Born again ones. You are not righteous because you don't do that stuff. And I've met Christians over the years, and they thought they were better than everyone else. They were legalistic and thought because they followed the law that they were better. They were gracers who thought they were better and could get away with sinning because they were better. They were in leadership and believed they could lord that over people. You are only righteous because you have the complete work of the cross in Christ in you. Nothing more, nothing less. Technon. That's what makes us born again. Verse 8. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The language here is saying your actions are born out of the devil's actions. But I'm not of the devil. I'm inclusive and exclusive and open-minded. I'm open to new things and it's all good. I'm just following another path, and that Jesus is the only way path is not for me. I'm a good person. I do good things, and I don't need Jesus to get me to heaven. Nope. You see, the story I read at the beginning is a true one, because there are two kingdoms, and a conquest is taking place. You can either conquer or you can be conquered. There are two kingdoms in this world, the Bible teaches. There is one kingdom of light, and there is one kingdom of darkness. There is one kingdom bought with blood, and the other that claims innocent blood. There is one that lifts up people, and another one that smashes them down. You can embrace and follow the king, or I'm sad to say, you belong to the dark ruler, because there are only two rulers in this world, one of light and one of darkness. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Who would that be? The ruler, the dark ruler, the devil. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." The people of the dark kingdom deserving of wrath. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. People tell me all the time, "I don't need God. I don't want God controlling my life." Well, I've got news for you. If God isn't controlling your life, then someone else is, according to his word. You are being controlled by the dark ruler or the devil, and you, the Bible says, belong to him. You are walking in disobedience and are fooled by the prince of the power of the air. If you don't belong to God, then the Bible says you belong to Satan and this world which is dying. Of those kingdoms, as there is no in between, there's no such thing as living in the middle, or there's no such thing as walking the fence. The devil puts relative stuff in the mind of the moralist as they come up with their own ways in their mind and moral thinking and figure out their own way to get there. But the scripture is very clear. If we continue the sin, we are of the devil. I just talked to someone yesterday when I wrote this sermon, and they said they'd lied, they'd stolen before, they lusted after women, but they're good, and God will be okay with all of that. That he never disobeyed his parents ever and never said no to them. Then they told me their own moral and relative way to get to heaven, which is not in any religious book I've ever read. It irks me so much that people are so fooled by this, and the huge reason I'm so irked is that I was at one point myself too. Verse 9. "No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God." Technon. His seed is in them permanently, and they cannot just go on in their sin nature like it's no big deal to them anymore. He is saying, if Jesus lives in you, ultimately, you will not go on living the way you did before. You will do something that you did before, and it will convict you. You will not be able to continue in a bad lifestyle, and if you do continually, you are really not in Him. The seed of Christ can never be peaceful in sinful activity. If you continue to walk in righteousness, then you are righteous. Not because you are, but because Jesus made you righteous. You are born of God, and verse 10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So you're either children of sin and in the kingdom of darkness, or born in God and in the kingdom of light. No pun. The story of the two kingdoms has nothing to do with the conquest of one or the other kingdom. The dark ruler and his kingdom, they have already been conquered. See, Genesis and Revelation are Satan's worst books, because in Genesis, God judges him, and then in Revelation, he's judged and he's thrown into the lake of fire forever. He is already going there. Now his goal is to take you with him. That's what he wants to do, because he's already going there. His kingdom is already conquered, and he wants to take as many of people that God loves. And that's why he wants to do it, because it's basically shoving it in God's face. Well, if you're not going to let me go, I'm going to take as many of the people that you love with me. When Jesus died on the cross and then rose again, the fate of the dark kingdom had been set. That's why when you watch The Passion and Jesus dies on the cross, the devil starts, he rises again. The devil's like, starts screaming and yelling, because he's defeated. So the dark side has already been defeated. If you don't know Jesus, then the direction you are heading is to defeat. In other words, the conquest of two kingdoms is not about either kingdom being conquered. It's about you. And you will be thrashed for eternity. It's about you being conquered. It's your individual condition. And if you're listening today, I'm putting you on the spot. You can choose a side. If you don't know Jesus, then you already belong to a side. That's what the scriptures say. In other words, John is saying here, if you don't belong to Jesus, then you belong to the devil and to the world. So it's your choice. You can choose to accept the good king today, or you can live in the dark kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, I give you praise today for this message, and thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. Thank you for John. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us and continue to be with us. And Lord, if we are walking in darkness, if we are walking in habitual sin and we're not struggling with it, Lord, and we say that we're a believer, I pray, Lord, that you would help us with that. That you would help us to know when we are doing that. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bring light through your Spirit. And Father, in all these things, I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.